This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. On the program today, Computers in You, and we welcome back to the program this afternoon science and technology reporter for the News Gazette, Greg Klein. Greg Klein also writes columns for the newspaper about computing. They run on Mondays in the circuits section of the paper. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with your questions about computers. Here are the numbers. The telephone number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks, Celeste. It's good to be here.
What would you like to talk about? Where would you like to begin as we wait for listeners to join us on the telephone?
Well, we've got lots of interesting things going on as usual. You know, Bill Gates was at a big security conference this week. He talked about a system that Microsoft is going to introduce probably in its next browser that'll store all your passwords and other vital information, perhaps like your credit card numbers, so that you don't have to put those out there at various websites. We'll see how that turns out. I don't know about Microsoft leading the security charge, but we'll find out. They're also set to start an antivirus program in June that they're going to sell as a separate service with to go along with Windows. So that'll put them in competition with some of the big players like Norton and McAfee, and we'll see how that goes. But you know, security again continues to be. To be a thing that's on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
I've been in my other life as a reporter. I've been doing some work on a story about digital music players like the iPod and what those might be doing to our ears. I think came across some pretty good advice from some hearing folks that I've talked to, which I might pass along. And that's, if you're playing that thing up full blast, you're probably in trouble.
Wow.
They're measuring the decibel output in your ears in the same neighborhood as things like snowblowers and chainsaws and that kind of thing, noises that you obviously wouldn't willingly listen to for hours on end, and that can damage your hearing. So the advice I'm hearing is turn it down. And in fact, turn it down to around 50-60% is probably what you want to be doing. These things, the decibels can be as high as 110 in some measurements that people have taken. And that's about twice as high as a normal conversation.
Yeah.
So it's pretty loud.
I wonder, even if you have it down to a reasonable level, if your exposure overall, is that an issue?
Well, it's the whether you damage your hearing or not is related to both the how loud it is and also how long. So that's kind of the formula. You know, the longer you listen, the louder you listen, the more likely you are to do some damage to your hearing. So that's a good point, too. And one of the suggestions, in addition to turn it down, is take a break. There's some evidence that you know, if you listen for a while and then you take them out for a while, you're better off than if you just sit there for hours on end. And that's kind of the, you know, we've had things like this for a long time. You think about the Walkman came out in the early 80s. So we've been sticking these things in our ears for a long time or over our ears. The difference is that, you know, digital music players tend to have a lot longer battery life than our old Walkman did, certainly, and then some of maybe our portable CD players had. They're also able, obviously, to carry a lot more music. You know, you're not messing with tapes and discs. You're talking about hours or days or even weeks in some cases of music capacity. So you could sit there and listen for a long time without hearing the same song. And they're extremely portable. You know, it used to be kind of those Walkmen and our portable CD players, those were a little bulky to carry around all the time. But when, you know, you've got something like an iPod that's the size of a pack of gum, the size and weight, you're more likely to carry it around and listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
So turn it down and
take a break.
Take a break every now and then. Okay. Good idea.
Let's talk with a listener. We've got a caller waiting for us on line one. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Okay. My wife and I have had a Dell desktop for several years now, and we recently bought an Apple PowerBook to go with it. So we think it's about time to bite the bullet and get rid of our dial-up connection and go to broadband, and we'd like to get a wireless router so we can move the PowerBook around.
Right.
And my questions concern what kind of router to get. Is there any advantage to getting one from Apple, since one of our computers is an Apple?
Right. No.
Okay.
in a word, other than the fact that, you know, they're nicely made.
But they seem to be more expensive than
yes.
you can get at one
yeah,
of the big electronics stores.
It's one of those places where there's a premium kind of on Apple equipment. And
okay.
in part, you're paying for the fact that it looks a lot nicer
mm-hmm.
than most of the routers you might go and buy from, say, a company like Linksys or somebody like
right,
that.
Right, right.
But they all work on the same standard. You know,
okay.
Generally referred to as Wi-Fi and or in techie terms 802.11 with either a B or a G on it, depending on how fast they are.
Okay.
You know, so you can use essentially any kind of wireless base station with that adheres to that standard that pretty much everyone uses.
Okay.
In fact, I've got a Apple machine at home that's wireless, as well as Windows machines and a Linux machine, and they all run off in this case, it happens to be a D-Link wireless router.
Yeah, okay. So. Second question is, what sort of capability, using Linksys as an example, you know, they have three different routers, and the top of the line is twice as expensive as the bottom of the line.
Right.
Sort of should I be looking for home use? You know, we've got a ranch house that's about 1,800 square feet.
Right.
We want to be able to cover the house, but do we need the top of the line, the MIMO router, to do that? Or is the bottom of the line sufficient?
Well, I think it's as far as the differences you're probably seeing are in, okay, what does it do? Now, do you have cable or DSL? It'll be a cable modem.
Yeah.
So you'll get a cable. You'll probably get a cable modem from the cable company, right?
Right.
Is that's the game?
Well, I would probably. Yeah, you can actually buy one at Best Buy and get it for free. And
right.
Yeah.
So that's one place where the device you buy might be more expensive than another device because you're buying a device that serves as both the cable modem and the router, right?
Oh, at the same time.
Right.
I wasn't really looking at that. I hadn't looked at that. You know,
I think that's probably...
I was assuming they were two different boxes.
No, probably one of your options is to get one that does both, and that would probably be a little more expensive than another one, right?
Okay.
Now, if you get a cable modem, if you get the cable modem from the cable company or you got a DSL modem from the telephone company, then all you really want is the routing function, right? So that you
right.
can have you can connect wirelessly and perhaps have more than one computer on there
right.
at the same
right.
time.
Right.
So that's going to be less costly than the box that does everything, right?
Right.
Then the other thing is, you know, is it 802.11b or is it 802.11g? Now, 802.11b in theory moves about as fast as wired Ethernet, right?
Okay.
And, as old wired Ethernet. It moves about 11 megabits per second, I think, is the rating on that. Well, 802.11g is supposed to be around 54, much faster, right?
Okay.
Does it make a lot of difference if you're just doing normal stuff? Probably not.
Okay. Right.
You know, if you're not streaming video
right.
over that wireless connection, you're probably not that worried about it.
Okay. All right.
And coverage-wise, you should be, you know, in the size of a house you described, depending on, you know, what's in between it and where the router is, you should be fine with any of them.
Okay. All right.
Usually the rule of thumb or the, you know, stated distance is like 150 feet.
Okay.
In point of fact, it's probably, and depending on conditions, it may be like twice that even.
For a radius? From
yeah.
From,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Great.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Next we talk with a listener on the toll-free line 4. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I've talked to you before, and I know probably I need to get a new computer, but I need to hold off for just a bit longer. And the problem is I had someone who helped me clean it up, and she basically said there were too many things running, and it needed to be defragged. And I put it on defrag, and it basically, I guess there's a line that goes across that basically gives the percentage of the amount of work that's done. Could you give me any hints or possibilities why it may not be defragging?
So it stops.
Or
it just keeps going?
It keeps going, but it doesn't seem to read out on the percentage, because I think, isn't it on most of them, you get a little blue line plus the percentage of the amount
right,
of
right.
work that's been...
Well, yes, yes. And I'll tell you two things, okay? Yeah. One is, if you haven't defragmented in a long time,
yeah,
it may sit there for quite some time. It may sit at one. I think mine used to sit at 10% when I hadn't defragged for a long time.
I see.
Used to sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there, and eventually it'd move on.
I see. You know? Could I say something?
Uh-huh.
I've let it on for about the last 18 hours.
And yeah, then you've probably got a problem. This is what I would guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You just restarted your computer normally, right?
Right.
You started your computer normally, and you started running disk defragmenter.
Right.
Now, see, what's happening is you've got programs that are running in the background, and they're doing things back there. And every time they do something that affects that disk, disk defragmenter, in essence, is starting over again, right?
Yes.
So that's why you're not getting anywhere.
I see.
What you need to do is shut down pretty much everything. And the easiest way, what operating system are you running?
Windows 95 and 98.
Windows 95 and 98?
Yes.
What you need to do is you know how to start those in safe mode?
Say that again, start in safe mode?
Yeah, you want to restart your computer in safe, S-A-F-E,
safe
mode.
No, I'm not certain. Could you give me...
Okay. What you do is you just restart it, right? And then I'm trying to remember, it's different keys for different versions of Windows. You can Google this and find out for sure. But I believe with, if I recall correctly, with Windows 95 and 98, I think it's the F8 key, okay?
F8.
The function key 8, F8 at the top of the keyboard.
The okay. Yes.
I think
you
hold that down or tap it, and that'll give you the option to start in safe mode. And you want to start in safe mode, okay?
Okay, yes.
Now, what that does, starting in safe mode, is it strips your operating system down to just the bare bones, right? Takes all that stuff that's running in the background there out of the picture.
Okay.
So all you have running on your computer at that point is what Windows needs to function.
Okay.
So try that, restart in safe mode, and then run disk defragmenter, and I think it'll do it for you.
Oh, okay. So basically, I just shut it down, and then when the restart, and then press the F8, and then it'll have defrag in the safe mode on it, or put it in the safe mode. Do I understand you correctly, sir?
Yes. You want to restart your computer.
Yeah.
Shut down defragmenter, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Restart your computer in safe mode, then run disk defragmenter.
Yeah.
And then restart it normally after that.
Restart it after I've just let it run its course? Is that
yeah, right? After disk defragmenter is done, go ahead and restart your computer again, because then that'll put it back into normal mode, right?
Oh, okay. So. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your help.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinin. This afternoon, we're talking with Greg Klein about computers. If you'd like to join us, give us a call. The telephone number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Greg and I were talking before we got going this afternoon in this portion of the program about the weather that we're seeing out there this afternoon. 59 degrees in Urbana on the 16th of February. Rather unusual. And I've just been handed this information about that involves the weather. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a tornado watch for portions of southern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana, effective this Thursday afternoon and evening until 8 o'clock. Tornadoes, hail to 1.5 inches in diameter, thunderstorm wind gusts to 80 miles per hour, and dangerous lightning are possible in these areas. In the immediate AM 580 severe weather coverage area, the tornado watch includes the following counties in Illinois: Champaign, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion. Repeating, a tornado watch is in effect for portions of southern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana until 8 o'clock this evening. And the counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area: Champaign, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion. And stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest on the weather. Let's talk with some other folks now about computers. We'll put the weather aside for a moment. And let's talk with the caller on line one. Hi.
Hi. When you boot up in Windows 98, hold down the control key, and that'll get you into the safe.
Yeah, I think you could do either one. In fact, I was just going to say that in case the gentleman, the last caller, was on. I've got instructions here that talk about using the F8 key. So I think either control or F8 will work.
Okay.
But if he does that, I think then he'll get through the disk defragmentation process. What's happening there is, you know, that it's reorganizing your hard disk. So if you've got programs running in the background that are doing things to the hard disk, it has to keep reorganizing every time there's a change because of one of those programs. So he just needs to get rid of those, and safe mode will do that for him.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the call this afternoon. Let's talk with another listener. Line 2, hi.
Hi. Greg, I've got a computer that's roughly 8 years old, and it's getting very slow. And I downgrade the spyware. I download spyware, and I download the Microsoft updates and all that good stuff. I'm sure that has an impact on it. But I also defrag and try to get rid of stuff I don't need. And I just wonder if you have any suggestions of what I could do to attempt to speed up the processing.
Well, and are you talking about it's getting very slow as you add new software to it?
No. Go from one function to another. Like I click on something to print, it just takes forever to get to the printer thing.
So you're doing the same old things that you always do.
Right.
That always have done, and using the same software to do them.
Correct.
But it's still awfully slow.
Right.
So, you know, the two things I would suggest that it appears that you've already done are, to run your disk utility, right, see that there aren't any problems on your hard disk there and clean up problems that there are, and then to run disk defragmenter to reorganize your hard disk.
Yep, and
Those I would think would might offer you some benefit, but the fact is you've probably just having had this computer and used it for 8 years, right?
Yeah,
you've got a lot of stuff in there that's built up over time that you'd benefit from having someone clean out. I think you might even want to go through the process of reinstalling your operating system and your software after backing up all your personal stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just happens that over time you accumulate this stuff, and you're gonna get slowdowns like this, unless you do a big spring cleaning, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Do you run some of the utility? What version of Windows are you using?
Windows 98.
So do you run like system file cleaner and that kind of thing regularly? Have you taken a look at in your system tools folder and looked at some of the things that are there for cleaning out some of this kind of stuff, temporary files?
I don't know if I have any temporary. I did go in to look at cookies, and it looked like I had a ton of cookies.
Well, those aren't going to really make much of a difference to you.
So yeah. I didn't know if I could delete them all or what the deal was on that.
What it appears to me you're seeing is a general slowdown in the operating system.
Correct.
Because of this gunk that builds up over a period of time.
Yeah.
And there are tools in there. If you'll go into accessories and system tools, on your start menu, you'll see some tools in there, that some of which can help you clean out that stuff.
Oh.
Now, some of it, cleaning out your registry, which is the big database Windows uses to keep track of everything, that can be problematic when it gets gunked up in technical terms. I don't always suggest people do that on their own if they're not comfortable with it, because if you mess that up, then you can make your computer inoperable.
Mm-hmm.
But the sad fact is that over time, the operating system just accumulates this stuff that tends to make it slow down, and you really need to do, if you're not doing it regularly, then you need to do, some big spring cleaning to kind of get things back to being reasonably zippy. Now, you know, you this also could be because you've accumulated viruses or virus-like software, you know, like worms, as well as spyware and adware that that hasn't been cleaned out. I know you said you've run some utilities to do that, but you know, these can also affect the general speed of your system there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've added, you said you hadn't, but you know, if you've added newer software over time, you know, the other thing is that software always keeps advancing to use up whatever new computing power becomes available. It seems to be axiomatic. So you know, if you add any new software over time, it's starting to outstrip the capacity of the computer. You know, 8 years is a long time in computing terms, isn't personal computing
yeah.
terms.
Yeah, it just I primarily got it for word processing. Now I've gone some email, but that's really optional. But that's the primary use, and it, you know, it's that's serving my purpose. But I've just noticed that stuff it's getting slower and slower. And oh my, what's going on here? So if I go into the test systems tools folder, what would I be looking for or at or trying to do?
Well, there are a variety. That's where Disk Defragmenter and your
yeah.
Disk Utility are for one thing. But there are a variety of tools in there that can clean your registry, flush temporary files, that kind of thing. And you'll if you look in that System Tools folder, just open up some of those things and take a look at the help files and see if it sounds like something that might help you out.
Okay. Well, I do it. You know, every month I defragment and run the scan disk and that type to just kind of try to eliminate problems.
Well, so, that's good. And if you do that, you know, it is possible that what you've got is more than just a buildup of junk that's slowing your computer down. That in fact, you know, you've got virus-like software, adware, spyware. That's also causing these problems.
Hmm.
What utilities have you run to get rid of that stuff?
Do
you have an antivirus utility?
Yeah.
Keep it up to date?
I download McAfee every week.
Yeah.
And I go to the SpyBot every 30 days.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned the Defragmenter and scan and clean out the always deleted messages and. So you know, I try to keep all the junk to a minimum or off.
Right. In addition to SpyBot, you might download AdAware, and it's at www.lavasoftusa.com.
Lavasoft.
Yeah.
USA.com. Huh?
Yeah. And that's there's a free version. That's another spyware utility. You know, the problem with I think SpyBot's a really good spyware utility. But I've found and other people have found that none of them tend to catch everything. So it's not a bad idea to run a couple of them.
Oh,
so you might run that, see if it catches something that, SpyBot didn't. It sounds like you're doing what you should be doing, and you may just be seeing the effects of age, okay?
Yeah.
And
I was thinking about adding RAM. Now, if I add RAM,
How much RAM do you have in there?
64 megabytes.
Well, you might well benefit from adding RAM, and that wouldn't cost you very much.
But if I add RAM, then I have to just reinstall all my programs?
No.
Oh.
No.
What's the ramifications of doing that?
None.
Oh.
Essentially, it shouldn't be any unless, you know, you have a problem installing it, or you know, you can have somebody install it for you. But essentially, it's open up your computer, plug in another module, and you've got more RAM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it shouldn't do anything.
Well, I'm relieved to know I don't have to reinstall. Okay. And one last thing is, do you know about the Champaign-Urbana PC group meeting tonight?
No, I don't know about it.
Oh, okay.
Anything specific, but...
I didn't know about what they did at this meeting or what goes on.
Maybe somebody will call in.
You're talking about the Champaign-Urbana Computer Users Group,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're people that are interested in computers, and you can often get good advice there from some of the folks.
Oh, okay, good.
So.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's talk with a listener on the toll-free line, line 4. Hi, you're on the air with Greg Klein.
Hi, I have two questions. The first one is, if you downloaded and installed the SpyBot and the AdAware, would that interfere if you already had Zone Alarm and Norton Antivirus, and would you have to know or have somebody help you change any settings?
No, ma'am. Those things should not affect the two, the antivirus program or the firewall you described. Now, there are features in, and as I recall, neither one of them is set up this way in default. There are features that, have AdAware and SpyBot do things automatically that, might in some instances, the software being a complicated thing, conflict with something else. None that I'm aware of, okay? But as I recall, both SpyBot and AdAware, when you install them, they're not set up to do that automatic stuff anyway. You have to run them, right, to scan your system. And in that case, they're not doing anything that would conflict with your antivirus program or your firewall. They all seem to behave very well together.
They play nicely together.
Yeah.
Okay, my other question is, I know that you're cautioned not to open attachments in your email if you don't know who they're from. Can you get viruses just by visiting websites?
Well, yes and no. You can pick up things. I don't know whether you would, probably in technical terms you wouldn't call them viruses, but they act like viruses, okay? And they do things to your computer that you wouldn't necessarily want done, and usually they're classed as adware or spyware, as opposed to being classed as viruses. But for most people's purposes, it's the same thing, except you need different software to catch the different types, right?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's talk with another listener. Caller on line 1. Hi.
Hello, this is Jay. I have a question about DVD burner. Am I still online?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. I just bought a DVD burner for my computer, and I'm wanting to put some home movies onto a DVD, and I was really wondering if you had any suggestions about what software to buy for that that would maybe do a little bit of video editing in the burner DVD with it. I've heard of Nero and ULEAD, and I know there's probably other ones. But...
Well, and you're running Windows, right?
Yes, sir.
So any of those major players that you probably looked at are going to do the kind of thing that you describe.
Okay. All right. They ought to all burn equally
right.
well. And...
Right.
All right.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're talking about doing, like, family movies, right, essentially.
Yeah,
you're not making the next great epic or anything like that. So anything like,
it's not headed to Sundance.
Yeah. Any of the major players there ought to do fine for you.
Okay.
How new is your computer?
Let's see. I built it myself. It's been 3 years ago now I built it.
Yeah. So you're fairly up to date then. You shouldn't have any problem.
Sounds
like what you're doing. So.
Yeah. Fairly.
I imagine you built yourself a nice machine and have plenty of RAM and lots of hard drive space and all that kind of stuff, which is...
Yeah, I should have enough hard drive and RAM.
Yeah. Kind of the more important question to ask than this piece of software versus that piece of software is, how's my computer as far as handling video? Do I have, do I have plenty of RAM? Do I have a pretty good... beefy processor? Do I have lots of hard drive space? Because video takes up a lot of space. And it sounds
one problem
like
I did run into was I downloaded a demo of a couple of these types of software, and whenever I burned a DVD, it wouldn't play in my. I have two drives on my computer. One of them was a new one that I just bought that burns DVDs, and one is supposed to play them.
Yeah,
the three year old one that's supposed to play them doesn't necessarily play the ones that I burned. I guess just a difference in.
Well. I'll say two things. One, burning DVDs to play in, non-computer DVD players is still, I think, an inexact science. It seems like they'll work in some machines. They won't work in others. Okay.
Okay.
The second thing I'll say is that it's possible those demo versions are hobbled, you know, so they don't maybe they're not even really burning that DVD. I'm not sure, or they, you know, they don't do it in a way that's that you could reproduce it to run in any DVD player. That's in order to encourage you to buy the full software package, right?
All right.
So either one of those things could be the situation there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
You're welcome. Let's talk with another listener. Caller on line two. Hi.
My name is GB. I have a system that's getting quite dated, and I'm needing to upgrade. And you read all the ads and everything, and just start makes your head swim, you know. You know? And I mean, the off of these, I mean, like Dell had a $399, you know. Well, what am I buying for $399? Am I getting anything I can really use? I mean, my system's quite old. I know that the computer science is changing just almost daily, and that the capacities are moving up. For example, I look at Hotmail, and there's video on there that I can watch. Well, I try to download it on my computer, and it just doesn't even. I mean, it's just a waste of time.
Right.
I don't get
right.
anything. So my question is, I'm also getting older, and the monitors, just all that stuff's on there is getting too small to read. So I'm wanting to update and get a flat screen. And my brother-in-law just bought a computer, and the whole box was just a little box that sat on top of his desk. You know,
uh-huh.
I'm just confused about a basic PC and what's the standard today. I mean, what's too much? What's not enough? Can you kind of just outline it? I'm 54 and I look at the internet all the time, and I basically want to listen to and maybe burn a CD or two on it. Can you give some general outlines for us novices who have to go out there and buy one of these things?
Well, let me put it in a simple way, okay? Because we could sit here and talk about features for hours on end, more time than we have. But it's my feeling, okay, that if you're just doing normal stuff, you want to look at the web, you want to do email, you want to do some word processing, maybe, keep your books, your financial books on there. You want to play some, low-level games, not the hottest super 3D games that just came out, this week. You maybe want to listen to some music on there, maybe see some video, but you're not talking about making movies or anything like the previous caller was. Then you ought to be able to walk into any store that's selling computers right now, or go to a place online, and the least expensive computer they have there is probably going to meet your needs. Okay.
Okay.
That's just the way it is now. You know, the personal computers have reached a point, I think, where for basic needs, the kind of stuff that most people want to do. Even the least one is more than capable of handling what they want to do. And so I tell people that right off. The second thing I tell them is, okay, so now you want to put a little money into it and make it a little better, okay? If there's a place where they short the least expensive computer, it's in how much RAM is in there, RAM memory. So you might want to bump that up. If it's not, if we're talking a Windows machine or an Apple machine for that matter, if it's not 512 megabytes these days, the modern operating systems, Windows XP and Mac OS X, they want at least 512 megabytes.
Okay.
And if you can give them more, they like to have that.
Okay.
And then you said the other thing that I tell people and you said the monitor. You talked about your monitor. You're getting older, your monitor. The other place I tell people, look, if you're going to sink some extra money into this new computer you're going to buy, get a nicer monitor, a bigger, brighter monitor. Because when you think about it, that's how you interact with that computer all the time. I mean, that's the key device that you're sitting in front of, right? And looking at to access the world. So if there are two places where you might want to spend some additional money, it's RAM and a nicer monitor.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you answering my question.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk with another listener. Caller on line three. Hello there.
Good afternoon. Enjoying the program. I have a couple of questions. My computer has an expired version of McAfee virus software on it, I believe, and I have SpyBot on it. And I just purchased a program called Defender Pro 5-in-1, which is for antivirus, anti-spam, anti-spyware, firewall, and toolbox.
Uh-huh.
Do I have to close out or delete those other programs on the computer? Are these things like Tomcats and you put them together and they fight?
Well, I don't think you need to worry about SpyBot. Again, there are things in SpyBot you could set up to function automatically. It's been my experience they're not on by default. So you've got no process occurring all the time that might conflict with something other software is doing, uh-huh. right? Essentially, you turn SpyBot on, run a scan, and then turn it off. So there's not there's not much room for conflict there. So I don't think you have to worry about SpyBot. You know, McAfee, on the other hand, may in fact be active on your computer. You hope it is because it's your antivirus software. May in fact be active on your computer all the time and, you know, monitoring for viruses and that kind of thing. And I think there could be potential for conflict there. And so the safest thing to do would be to uninstall McAfee, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then install your new security suite that you've got there.
Have you had any experience with this Defender Pro?
No, you know, I haven't. So that's as far as I'll go. I'll tell you this, though. What I say to people, you know, you can get even free antivirus software. AVG, the company mm-hmm. that sells a version, also has a free version. And what I say to people in that case is, I know this. Having some is better than having none. Okay,
right.
So and I think they're all decent. I think some may be stronger than others in particular areas, but most of them function pretty well. But yes, I would uninstall McAfee first,
mm-hmm.
and then I would install your new suite.
Okay, I think I can go into my computer. You scroll down there and you find a place to uninstall the program. And then that does a pretty complete job then.
Right, but you can do that, but you might see also if in the program folder that contains your McAfee software,
okay.
whether there's a specific uninstall utility for McAfee as well.
And if there is, I'd click on that.
Right, I'd use that because it's often the case that those program-specific uninstall utilities do something of a more complete job than the Windows add-remove programs.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, let's talk with another listener before we run out of time here. Listener on line one, hi.
Hi. I got a problem with Windows 2000 Professional. I had a administrative account, which I think I've heard that is you're not supposed to have two administrative accounts. But anyway, I had two. And I decided to reduce the level to guest of one of the administrator accounts. And when I did it, it ditched everything that I'd ever downloaded to that account or that side. So I took it back to administrative privileges. Of course, it didn't bring anything back. And then I got a piece of software called File Recover.
Uh-huh.
And one morning I fired that thing up and started running it, and it looked like it was going to be a long time before it recognized all this stuff. It was bringing stuff up that I recognized it was gone. And when I came back, my computer had rebooted and said that I didn't have an operating system anymore.
At all?
Said I didn't have one at all. And so I didn't have time to mess with it, so I shut it down. I came back and got it to say that there was a problem with Windows 2000 and that I could try to run a repair. And it asked for administrative passwords, and I typed in both of them, and it didn't recognize either one of them. But I don't know I almost suspect that I might have a hardware problem, too, from that, the way that acted. But
well, it there's potential maybe for either thing there, but it sounds to me with, you know, you were manipulating the operating system here, and it sounds to me more likely that it's something on the software side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty complicated, so I'm not going to try to answer it on the phone here. But I'll do this. If you'll send me an email about it and kind of outline the problem the way you just did, I'll look into it and try and come up with a better answer than I can fashion right now.
Okay.
And do you know my email?
Is it on the web there? On
yeah. Well, it's on or the News Gazette, but it's just Kline, KLINE, at news-gazette.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon. Just a couple minutes left. We talked a little bit about one of the callers talked about, you know, backup, and, you know, we're storing more and more data on a computer. What's the latest in software, external hard drives and burners for backup?
Well, what I suggest to people now, Celeste, given the cost of a second internal or an external hard drive, I usually suggest an external hard drive because, you know, you just plug that into a USB 2 port and then you can unplug it and move it to your next computer, right? Whereas if you install it internally, you're gonna have to take it out and reinstall. I just think it's a little easier to mess with. But, you know, these things are just, by comparison, not very expensive per megabyte anymore particularly. And it just makes sense to me, and this is what I do, to get a hard drive that's as big as the hard drive you have in your computer, right? And then use something on the Windows side. A popular thing is Norton Ghost. On the Mac side, Carbon Copy Cloner. That just makes a copy of your hard drive, makes a copy onto that other drive. Then, you know, if you have a big problem, all you do is put that copy back on and you're back in business. In fact, this happened to me. I had a hard drive go bad and I had a clone of my of that hard drive, and I just got a new hard drive and recloned the clone back onto the new hard drive, and in 10 minutes I was up and running. So I just think that's the easiest way for people to do it now, and it gives you just a complete copy of what's on there.
Okay.
It's the least problematic way of backing up everything and being able to restore everything.
When hard drives go bad. Sounds like Pulp Fiction, doesn't it?
It happens. So, I might, the one gentleman mentioned the Champaign-Urbana Computer Users Group, and in fact, they do meet this evening. Their Linux group starts at 6:15, and their general meeting is at 7, which includes the Macintosh and Windows groups. And they meet at the First Baptist Church of Champaign, I think in the basement. And that's at 1602 Prospect. And it's a corner of Prospect and Burwash in Savoy.
Okay.
So I used to drop in there now and then, and there are a lot of knowledgeable folks there, and they're usually willing to help people who are pulling their hair out.
Yeah. Well, thanks for helping us and keeping some of that hair
all right
on our heads. Greg Kline has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. He'll be back with us in April when the temperature should be 60 degrees, which makes me think that I should remind you listeners that a tornado watch is in effect for Champaign, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area until 8 o'clock this evening. The wider watch includes portions of southern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana, and it is in effect until 8 o'clock Central Standard Time tonight. Greg Kline of the News Gazette, thank you very much.
Thank you.